You turn, please, in your Bibles to Psalm 67, 67th Psalm. Friends, this is the Word of God, Psalm 67. To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Verse 1. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Amen. So reads the public reading of God's Word. And friends, it's estimated that over 1 million selfies are posted on the internet every day. 74% of photos shared on Snapchat are uploaded every day, and 74% of those are selfies. 1,000 selfies are posted on Instagram every 10 seconds. Now, just in case you're in that age group that you don't know what a selfie is. A selfie is a picture where someone takes a picture of themselves. And typically they do it with their phone. They flip their phone over. They sort of do a little pose, some of them, and they take a photograph of themselves and they upload it onto the internet. Now, think about that 1 million figure for a moment. Over 1 million of these are posted on the internet through different websites on a daily basis. And friends, that's a good indicator. It's a good indication of where our society, where our culture is. It's a good pointer as to the age in which we live. The age we live in is a self-centered age. Well, you know, you could argue that every age with sinners is a self-centered age. But I would say that this present generation has taken that self-centeredness to another league. Remember what Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He tells that young pastor, in the last days, difficult times will come, perilous times will come. And then he goes on to describe the type of opposition that would face believers and that believers would be encountering. And the first thing that he describes is he says that people will be lovers of themselves. Now that's the heart of sin, isn't it? Being self-centered. Well, this psalm, friends, that we've just read together is a good cure. It's a good tonic for living in a self-centered age, because this is a God-centered psalm. It is therefore an ideal psalm to take with us into 2018. We should make verse 1 our prayer throughout the coming year. That should certainly be a church motto through the coming year. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us. This is a psalm that, as we bring our petitions to God, it lifts our eyes to Him beyond ourselves. It's a short prayer based on a big promise. And that big promise, friends, is the promise that God gave to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, God told Abraham, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. For the people of God in the Old Testament, as they sang this psalm, as they would sing the refrain of the psalm, let all the peoples praise you, O God, let the peoples praise you. They would have that promise that God gave to Abraham in the back of their mind. They would have been very conscious of that word that God spoke to Abraham, that through him all the earth would be blessed. So this is a psalm that points back to the promise God made to Abraham. But friends, it is also a psalm that points us forward to a picture that we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. If you just want to turn to Revelation chapter 5 for a second, we'll read this together, because in that chapter we see Jesus on the throne, and he's described as the Lamb who has been slain, seated on the throne. And he's surrounded by the saints in glory, and they are singing. And what are they singing? Well, it says they are singing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. See what it says? Out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And you have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. You see the petition of Psalm 67, asking God that his praises would extend to all the peoples. We see that answered in Revelation. The prayer of Psalm 67 is answered in that chapter that we just read together. And friends, that ought to be something that stirs us. That ought to be something that stimulates us as we enter 2018. You know, that promise given to Abraham that the families of the earth would be blessed through him, and the prayer that these people take up in the Old Testament in Psalm 67, yes, Lord, fulfill that. Let your word go out to the ends of the earth, to the tribes, the peoples, the nations, and the tongues. We see that being answered, you know, in the end of the book. You know, sometimes we can become discouraged. Sometimes the head can droop, and your arms can droop. And we say, what's the point? Just a day of small things. We're praying and we're praying and we're praying, and we don't see an awful lot happening, and we can become discouraged. Well, we have the last scene pictured for us here, and we see that those prayers will be answered. So keep praying. Keep meeting to pray. Keep asking God to revive the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in this nation, but also other nations. You know, if you're to pick up your Bible and read from Genesis through to Revelation, which I hope you have done, those of you who are members of Watton Park, you know, last year and in previous years, I've encouraged you at the start of the year, you know, why not make it your aim to read through the Bible, you know, from Genesis through to Revelation. Suggested a number of Bible reading plans you can get through Bible Gateway, you know, a chronological reading plan, a historical reading plan, etc., or just a straight reading plan of the Bible. A number of different reading plans that you can follow through the course of the year. If you started it last year and you didn't fulfill it, take it up again. If you haven't started it, can I encourage you to read through the Bible? Start at Genesis and work your way through. And as you start at Genesis, you know, the story of creation, and then the fall, and then the flood, and then God calling Abraham, as we've just said, and God giving that promise to Abraham. And you see how that promise starts to unfold through redemptive history. And as you go through from Genesis chapter 12, and you see how God is going to bless the nations, particularly through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you come to the end of the Bible in Revelation chapter 5, and you've been reading through the Bible for the year, those of you who have been doing it. You've been reading Revelation chapter 5, probably, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. And you see, as you come to that chapter, how God has fulfilled and will fulfill his promises. There will be representatives from every tribe, tongue, and nation before the throne of Almighty God singing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb." You know, friends, when Jesus gave his great commission to the church before he ascended into heaven, when he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations," you know, he wasn't saying something new. He wasn't commissioning them to do something that had never been spoken before. That commission is rooted in the covenant grace of God as it's revealed in the Old Testament and continues in the New Testament. And so here, beloved, we have this psalm looking backwards and forwards, reminding us that our God is so worthy of praise that we should pray that all peoples everywhere should praise him. This psalm is often called a missionary psalm. And we need missionary psalms for our souls when we live in such a self-centered, me-centered age. And as we come to the end of 2017 and go into 2018, those of us who are redeemed sinners seeking to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking to grow in Christ's likeness and holiness, we need psalms like this one that will lift our eyes off ourselves and focus them on the greatness of the God that we worship and adore. And friends, when we see his greatness, when we see his majesty and splendor, our desire becomes that we will desire that all nations will behold the greatness of our God, that all peoples will come to praise him. Having been saved by his love and grace, our heart's longing is to see the day when all nations, yes, friends, all nations, will come to revel and rejoice in the same love and grace that we also have received. In short, we want the nations to be glad, and through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, sing his praise the way we do, week by week. We want them to share in the blessings which God, by his grace, has showered upon us. And this psalm breathes that spirit, breathes that aspiration. However, listen to this, friends. There's approximately 7.6 billion people living on planet Earth today. Some estimate that toward upwards of 6 billion of the people living on the planet are not professing Christians. There are 6 billion people living on this planet this morning, and if they were to die in some catastrophe, they would not see the Savior. Some missionary agencies and societies and organizations estimate that of that 6 billion, some 3 billion have no exposure to the gospel of Jesus Christ at all. So doesn't Psalm 67 grab your attention? Doesn't this psalm grab your attention on the eve of 2018? This psalm says, God, those people who have never heard your word, those people who are still in darkness, we desire that those who have never heard your name in places where there's not even enough people to gather for a Bible study. There's no church. There's 6 billion of them this Lord's Day morning that will not gather to sing your praises. Lord, those people We pray that those people would come to sing your praises. That through hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, their hearts would be transformed, and their lives would be transformed, and their families would be transformed, and their communities would be transformed, and their towns and their cities would be transformed, and their nation would be transformed. We pray that, dear God. And drawing that to your attention, I can hope you can see the reason why I've turned you to Psalm 67 as 2017 ends and 2018 approaches, especially with the ongoing calls for prayer. Next Saturday, Saturday the 6th, the West Lancs Baptist Reformed Fellowship first concert of prayer at North Preston Evangelical Church between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock. In the light of this psalm, could you not say, well, I'm going to start the year off praying. I'm going to go there, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for this nation. I'm going to pray for other nations that need the gospel. During the course of the year, we will have our regular four Saturday seasons of prayer between 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. Those dates will be in the yearbook shortly to be published. And when those dates come out, could you write them in red in your diary? Could you write them in red on your calendar and say, I'm going to be there praying. Going to do what Psalm 67 exhorts me to do. This psalm reminds us of this great truth, that as we bring God our requests, as we behold his greatness, our prayer is for those who do not yet know him. And friends, that includes the vast majority of folk in this neighborhood. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. With this 67th psalm ringing in our ears and lodged in our hearts, we can come to God with the confidence that our God's ear will not be deaf to our cry, that he will hear us when we plead to him, asking him to save those who are still outside the realm of grace. And this gives us a good blueprint. This psalm, friends, gives us a good blueprint to carry with us through the coming year. Praying God honoring big missionary prayers for the peoples of the world. You know, just look at the first two verses, verses 1 and 2. This is the blueprint, if you like, for prayer. Verse 1 says, God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Now, does that sound familiar, friends? Does that ring a bell with anyone? Doesn't it sound like the benediction that Moses told Aaron to pronounce over the people in Numbers chapter 6? Numbers chapter 6, 23 to 26, Aaron is instructed to give this benediction to the people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And here in Psalm 67, verse 1, we find that the psalmist begins with reciting a theme from Scripture, making a link back to what was in Numbers chapter 6. And friends, that's where we begin. We anchor our prayers in Scripture. In all prayer, we look to Scripture to be our guide. We look to Scripture to shape the words that we bring before the throne of God. You say, well, why is that? Well, because, friends, it's in Scripture that we see God's will revealed. And so we can be certain that when we pray Scripture, we are praying the will of God. So that's where the psalmist begins. As we pray for the nations, he begins with Scripture. Now, when you compare the benediction in Numbers chapter 6 with the opening of Psalm 67. You'll notice that the sequence is a little different. It's tweaked a little. Aaron's benediction began with "The Lord bless you and keep you." But here the psalm begins with "May God be merciful to us," or "May God be gracious to us." You see, friends, Aaron would have stood over the people and he would have pronounced that benediction. And the people's response would have been, "God be merciful to us. God be gracious to us." You see, friends, a blueprint prayer begins with Scripture. Yes. But it's helpful that it's been reworked a little here. And mercy and grace is highlighted first. Because, friends, we are very conscious as we approach God in prayer. We begin and we come through God's grace. It's only God's grace that opens up that door for us. It's by grace that we approach his throne and we offer up our requests and our petitions. Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, "Let us come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy." Our Savior sits on a throne of grace. So yes, our petitions begin with Scripture. We are praying God's word back to him. But friends, we're very conscious that we start by grace. We are here because of God's grace. And then I want you to notice in verse 1, three little words in each of those phrases. It says, "May God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." You see, here, friends, we are reminded that prayer is continued, it is conducted, it is done corporately in the household of faith. It's done within the church, within the community of believers. And so, are you getting the picture? Are you getting something off the blueprint? Praying Scripture, coming to God by grace. But it's not individualistic. The Bible knows absolutely nothing of a lone ranger faith. It's we, it's us, the people of God saying, "God, be merciful to us. Cause your face to shine upon us." It is the church of Jesus Christ meeting to pray. It's the body of Christ. Friends, there is power when the body of Christ prays. And I think part of the weakness that we face as a local church, and indeed in the wider church, is because God's people are not meeting to pray corporately. The numbers have dropped considerably in our Wednesday night meetings. Now, I know that some of that is due to some folks getting older and unable to come out. Some people are unwell and unable to come out. No, there are legitimate reasons. But there are some people that could be here, and they're not. And they don't make it a priority. And if our prayer meetings were full, you know, if the blue room was full on a Sunday night before, you know, the Sunday evening meeting when we meet for prayer, instead of, you know, three or four of our sisters being present. And again, I know that it's not always easy for folks with families, etc., to be there. But friends, this is a psalm that reminds us of us praying, the church praying, and the importance of the church praying. And realizing that when the church prayers, there's power. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And you know, sometimes that's the best kickstart to your individual prayer life. You know, maybe you are struggling in your prayer life. I find it difficult to pray, alone. I find it much easier to pray with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe you struggle, you know, in your prayer life or your prayer time. And one of the best ways to kickstart that is to meet with God's people. Come and pray. Come ready to bring a petition before the Lord. So there it is, friends. Praying within the church, corporate prayer. Not Billy saying it from the pulpit, but from the Word of God. Well, will we do that through 2018? Let's hold God to His Word. And say, God, you have said when we meet to pray, you will hear us. We're holding you to that. Will you send blessing through 2018? Now, thus far, everything mentioned has been about us. But we've already noted that this psalm is a great commission psalm. And that's where we'll pick up this transition as we continue to look at the blueprint in verse 2. We're asking God's blessing, we are asking God's mercy on us, that, verse 2, your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Now, friends, do you see what he's saying? The purpose of seeking God's mercy and blessing on us is not just for us to shine in our small corner, but it's also for the sake of the lost among the nations. It's not an amazing thought. Seeking God, God be merciful to us. God be merciful to us at Alton Park Baptist Church. Be gracious to your people here for the purpose of the people that aren't here, that are far from you, that are far from this land, that are far from a knowledge of you, that they may know you. Isn't that interesting? Do you have that wider vision? Do you have a vision that goes beyond these four walls? You see, friends, it's part of the blueprint that our eyes are lifted beyond ourselves. And what is the prayer? It's that, God, you would show us mercy so that others would know your way, so that others would know your way on the earth. And what is God's way? Our God is a covenant God. He is a God who is faithful. He is a God who has made covenant, a covenant of grace with these people. And here are his people saying, we want others. We want those who are outside. We want those who haven't experienced your saving grace. We want them to come and to know that. We want it to spread around the nations. The truth is, friends, that if we're going to pray for the nations, we can't export what we don't first have ourselves. So if we pray for the lost, it begins with reminding ourselves that if it were not by God's grace, we would be lost. And we are conscious, those of us who are Christians, that someone somewhere along the line prayed for us. Maybe it was more than one person. But you know somebody prayed for you. So it's important that we gather corporately to pray for our local church, that God would pour out his Spirit upon, yes, Alton Park Baptist Church. But friends, on that, just before I move on, just let me encourage you to make a practice to pray for the preaching of the Word. Make that a practice to pray for the preaching of the Word of God. Pray for the gathered worship of God's people. Pray that when we meet here week by week, God would be merciful to us, that he would cause his face to shine upon us, and that he would bless us. Make that a practice throughout 2018. And you know, friends, it's not too late to do it on the drive to church. You know, you may feel guilty and think, what have I done over the past weekend? You know, I've spent it in other things. I've spent it, you know, watching Sky Sport, or I've been out at some retail park. I've spent it here and I've spent it there. And here I am rushing to church. But you know what, friends? If you have 5 minutes on the way to church, ask God to be merciful to us. Ask God to bless us. Ask God to make his face shine upon us. pray for the preacher as he comes up these three steps into the pulpit that God would grant him a power to minister the word of God to hearts and souls. But as I said, friends, we can't export what we don't have ourselves. And the next thing I want you to look at is that we bring our petitions to God. There is one who accomplishes our petitions. So we have the blueprint in the first place, but then secondly, we have the one who accomplishes our petitions. Look particularly at verse 4. It says, "Let the nations be glad and sing for joy." What are they going to be? Why are they going to be glad? Why are they going to sing for joy? Answer, "For you judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth." Let the nations be glad and let them sing for joy, for God will judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. There is one who will accomplish the petition. There is one who will hear our prayers, and it is our living God. He is not just our God, but he is the God who has created all things. He is the God of the nations. And we're saying, "Lord, you move in those nations." And as we pray for those who do not know him, and we pray that they experience salvation and that they are drawn into the family of God, we pray, as it says in this psalm, that they will be glad and they will sing for joy. You know, their God is judge. And that should be a terrifying thought. Unless they know him as Savior, they're going to hear him pronounce his judgment upon them. And our God is on the throne. He is sovereign. He is the shepherd king. That's the imagery that comes across in this psalm. He governs and guides the nations upon the earth. It's an image of the shepherd king governing, guiding the affairs of all people at all times. What did the Apostle Paul say when he was in Athens, describing God's sovereignty among the nations? He describes it like this. He says, "God who made the world and everything in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped by men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives all life and breath to all things. He made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the earth, the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us." There you see, friends, the Apostle Paul. He says that God has determined the pre-appointed times. He has determined the boundaries of all peoples of all times. He's governing. He's guiding it. And he's doing it for his purposes. Psalm 22, 27 and 28 says, "All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before the King." All nations shall worship before you, for the kingdom is the Lord's and the ruler of the nations. God is ruling. God is ruling over all the nations for the sake of his kingdom. And so, friends, when we pray, "God, let all peoples praise you," he is the one who will accomplish that. We are even encouraged in our praying when we pray for the darkest parts of the world. And when we pray for Slavic Gospel Association and that Russia Now project seeking to reach people in the sort of northeast part of Russia where there's no gospel witness. When we pray that that Kazakh Bible appeal would reap a harvest. But we're to be encouraged in our praying when we pray for the hardest countries, you know, in the world where it's completely closed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the likes of North Korea. We could meet and pray, "Lord, send your light into that dark country." We could be praying for persecuted Christians in Eritrea, Pakistan, India, northern Nigeria, different parts of the world where they're persecuted for their faith, be it Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, or wherever. We should be encouraged to pray because our God hears and he will accomplish it. So we see a blueprint for our petitions. We see the one who accomplishes our petitions. Thirdly and lastly, very quickly, verse 6 and 7, we get drawn back home. The psalm began at home praying for the church, praying for the people of God. God be merciful to us so that the nations would know you. And in verse 6, we're drawn back home and we see that there's a link between the practical and the spiritual. He says, the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. So we're drawn back home and we're given this image of a harvest. The earth yields its increase, gives its produce. The psalmist is reminding the people of God that God has blessed them. He's blessed their harvest. He's blessed the work of their hands. And as he blesses practically, so he says God will bless spiritually. In other words, the psalmist is not simply looking at his blessing from God in terms of his own self-interest and thinking, you know, God has given me this provision, I'm okay. But the psalmist is using the occasion of his blessing for his reflection on God's, he's using his reflection on God's blessing of provision upon him as the opportunity to turn his eyes to the needs of the nations. And he says, Lord, as you've given me a harvest, oh, Lord, grant a spiritual harvest in this world. One, as you've blessed me bountifully, oh, Lord, bless the world bountifully. And you see, he's taking the practical, if you like, the physical, and he's just giving it a spiritual slant. The message for us is simple, friends. When we see the blessing that God has heaped upon us, we can never be focused on our own enjoyment of the blessing that God has given us, nor even in just our simple thanking God, you know, for the blessing that he gives us. But friends, we have to look further, don't we? We have to give it a spiritual slant and say, Lord, you've blessed us. You've blessed us with so many temporal blessings. Lord, would you give so many spiritual blessings to the world, to people in the world that don't know you? The believer longs for God to move in saving grace. Don't we rejoice when we hear of people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? We began by reminding ourselves about how self-centered our culture is, how self-centered the flesh is. But friends, God cares about providing for his people. And in this psalm, you get this mixture of both the people of God seeking God for their needs, but it doesn't just end on them. No, it goes further. It says, God, as you blessed us, please bless others. God, thank you for blessing the harvest. God, thank you for providing. But Lord, let it go to the ends of the earth. There's the daily work that we're engaged in. Some of that's mundane. But, you know, you can always turn it to prayer, asking God to, you know, give it a spiritual slant and move in the world in a way in which will, you know, leave us breathless. So in an age that's dominated by people, you know, taking out their phones and taking pictures of themselves, Psalm 67 is a good tonic for the soul. It takes us away from self-gazing. And it points us to the fields that are white on the harvest and calls us to pray unto God, asking him to raise up the laborers to go out into that harvest and gather in souls before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again.